It's very easy to talk the talk. But the question is, what are you going to do about it? Can you walk the walk? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence this morning. Thank you for everyone that is here, those who are listening online. We thank you, Father, for the preaching of the word, for the testimony that's coming forth today. We thank you, Father God, that you penetrate into our spirits today. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you change us. Today is a day of change for all of us, Father God. And we thank you, Lord, that we are changing into your image. Amen. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. We're going to go to our scripture in Micah 6:8. And this is our assignment for the church, for all of God's people. Let's read it together. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. The scripture says this is what the Lord requires of us. So this is our assignment. This is our focus as the people of God, as the church here in this territory. It is to do justly, to love mercy, and to humbly walk with our God. And in prayer this week, now I haven't talked to Pastor Jay, so Pastor Jay didn't know what God spoke to me today except for by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. But in prayer this week, the Lord said to me, as I was just meditating and saying, Lord, show us. How do we do this? We're in a new season. Tell someone new season. Yes, it's a new season, and we need God to show us the way. And so I'm just meditating. I'm saying, Lord, how do we do justly? How do we love mercy? And how do we walk humbly with you to demonstrate your attributes, your love, your care to the world around us? And so this is what the Lord said to me. He said, I will not ask you to do anything that I do not give you the strength, ability, and resources to do. I will teach you and show you the way. Hallelujah, Jesus. You know, the psalmist cried out and said, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths and lead me in your truth. Teach me. And that's our cry this morning. Is that your cry? I believe God is stirring a deep passion on the inside of all those that are connected to us that we want to know the way. We want to know what to do. And the Spirit of Truth, we're going to look at John 16:12-13. Some of these scriptures are familiar to us, but we want the Holy Spirit to birth a fresh revelation. Tell someone a fresh revelation in our hearts. Let's read John 16:12-13. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of the truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Now, who's going to tell us things to come? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Tell your neighbor, I will not be deceived. The Holy Spirit has promised us that he will lead us and guide us into some truth. Oh, all truth. And we're going to be questioning our future. Someone say, no. No, he said, I will show you things to come. You see, this is a promise of God. When you're caught in a situation that you don't know what to do or you don't know which decision to make, Lord, you said you would teach me. Lord, you said you would guide me. Lord, you gave me your Holy Spirit of truth. Now speak truth to me, even if it hurts. Tell someone, even if it hurts. You know, we need to hear the truth from the Lord in this season. If the church ever needed to walk the walk, it is right now. It is right now. Our nation is in a desperate situation right now. And we need the help of God. We've been in a desperate situation. We've been on our knees. We have been crying out to God. And God has heard our prayers. But now he says, church, take responsibility. I want you to stand up and I want you to walk humbly with me. I want you to do justly. I want you to love mercy. And I want you to demonstrate my kingdom. Hallelujah. And you know, the only way we can walk humbly before the Lord is to seek his face. Turn from our wicked ways. We humble ourselves before the Lord. We repent before the Lord. Someone told me the other day, they said, you know, that scripture in 2 Chronicles 7 says, if my people... That means us. And I'm like, Jesus, help them. If you just got that revelation, Jesus, help you. Come on, we have taught that for years. I say, none of my spiritual children are dumb. Hello. Come on. Instead of listening to everybody else, listen to what we are teaching. We have taught it for years. It is about the church. It is about God's people. We are the ones that are the change agent in the earth because we have the word of God in us. If my people, I'm one of his people, are you? Lord, help us to understand and to grow up in the revelation that you've released in this territory. God has called us to stand strong and to seek his kingdom first. If you've come to this church, you've heard it for 25 years. The business that we are about today is seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's not about taking care of your favorite song or doing exactly what you think should be done, because God is at the top of our agenda every time we gather in this house. It's about Jesus. It's about, tell your neighbor, it's about the kingdom. Because the promise, grab this revelation, if we seek him first. And we seek his righteousness first. Then all the things that we need, church, will be added unto us. You see, we get the cart before the horse. It's me, me, me. Take care of me. No, God says, I want to take care of my business through you. So do you have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church? Because it is a season of growing up, church. Let's grow up into Christ in all things. Because God is going to teach us. Ask your neighbor, are you teachable? You know, God will teach us if we're teachable. Let's go on. God is faithful. And I'm going to read some from a study that I did years ago on the faithfulness of God. And someone asked me the other day, where do you get all these things to preach? And I said, well, if I would have went to Bible college a straight amount of time, I would have been in school for 10 years for all the degrees that I have. But it took me 14 because I worked part-time, ran a business, and we planted a church in the midst of everything going on. And we've always been students of the Word. Always been students of the Word. And so the Scripture says we're supposed to be. Amen? So, hey, I've got materials I haven't even cracked into yet. And people keep bringing up, I had someone that lives down southern Indiana sent me some notes that I had preached several years ago on the kingdom of God. And they said, hey, I still have your notes, you know, and this is from 5 or 6 years ago. And so we want to cherish the word of God. If you're in this house, then you should know what we teach. You should know what we believe. You're connected with a group of people and you become in covenant together, and we should know what is taught and it should be a part of us. We should be able to teach it. Amen. That's the goal. Hallelujah. But anyway, I did a study on the faithfulness of God, and throughout this message, you will hear little experts of that study. So God is faithful in all things and faithful at all times. Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God. In this world, I have found a few faithful friends. And if you have one or two faithful friends in your lifetime, you are truly blessed. They are gifts from the Lord. God is my faithful friend. He has never let me down. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. God cannot be unfaithful. He is faithful. It is his nature. If he was not faithful, he would be denying himself. Psalm 89:8. Who is like the Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you. God is surrounded by faithfulness. He's wrapped in it. Nothing can compare to the faithfulness of God. He never forgets, never fails, never falters, never forfeits his word. God not only keeps his promises, but he is also faithful to keep his threats. Because the Lord loves justice. Psalm 32:37-28. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. God will not forsake his people. He's saying that he renders justice for the saints. He's a covenant-keeping God. And he requires, tell your neighbor, he requires that we do justly, love mercy, and humbly walk with him. And the Lord began to speak to me through this study that I had done, that Joshua took a definite stand for God. Let's read this. Joshua 24:14-16. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. This needs to be our cry. We need to take a definite stand and commit our ways to the Lord. We had a plaque in our house that said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I kept it right by the television set because we are not watching anything in our house that breaks the Ten Commandments of God. Come on. Hallelujah. It's not like Frank Sinatra's song, I Did It My Way. God has specifics on how we worship, how we serve him, how we commit our life to him. It is not multiple choice. Tell your neighbor, it is not multiple choice. You know, in America, we were so spoiled. We had all this smorgasbords, and we could just go and pick whatever we wanted. And that kind of seeped into our theology and our thinking that we could pick whatever we wanted. We could pick and choose what we liked about God, what we like, what scriptures we like, but the rest of them, we just didn't want to mess with. So we just didn't pick those. That's not what it is in this season. You notice they took away the smorgasbord. Hallelujah. Is that a sign in the natural that God has taken something away? A desire, an attitude, a thinking that we've had. God has a way of worshiping. And we have to choose to let go of the gods. False gods. God is faithful and trusting. He will show us what to do with our lives if we really surrender to His will and fear and reverence Him. We should fear lest we displease Him. Serve Him wholeheartedly. As I read that, I thought of the scripture. I'm not sure where it's located. But it says the whole duty of man, your whole duty, is to fear God and keep His commandments. Our whole duty. Just think what it would be like to live in a nation where everyone feared God and kept His commandments. Think about it. What a wonderful place this would be. But hallelujah. God wants to be gracious and merciful to you, and that is why the Lord waits on us. And we looked at this scripture last week, but let's look at it again. Isaiah 30:18. Therefore, the Lord will wait that He may be gracious to you, and therefore He will be exalted that He may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for Him. So the Lord longs to have mercy on us. So He waits on us. It takes some people longer than others. Hallelujah. Even when you're getting ready in the morning, how many know it takes some folks longer than others? When Leonard and I moved close enough to church, he would leave without me because I took too long. Aren't you ready? And even when the kids were little, it was like, I have 3 children to get ready, you know, and myself, while you sit in the car and honk. Hallelujah. But he's a good husband. He did help. He did help. I'm just picking on him a little bit. But he's always in a hurry. Have you ever noticed? He's always on time. If you're not a first noter, then you're late. His theory is, if you're not a half hour early, you're late. Does anybody else live by that? There's not too many people here that live by that. You can count on him being early. But the Lord loves us. He waits on us. He waits for us to surrender, to repent, to position ourselves in that place where He can bless us. As I shared last week, He is not going to bless our sin. You are not going to prosper if you are purposely sinful. The Lord waits for you to do something so that He can justifiably do something on your behalf. You see, God wants to move on our behalf. It's up to us. The scripture talks about how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. And God waits for the precious fruit of the earth. We're the fruit of the earth. Although some of us are Fruit Loops and fruit cakes, we are the fruit of the earth. Hallelujah. He's waiting for us to choose His way, to repent of our sin, to let go of resentment, to let go of anger. You know, sometimes it's difficult to forgive that person that abused us, that mistreated us, that cheated us, that stole from us. We all have those emotions. We all have struggles with forgiving. But it's not a choice. Tell your neighbor, it's not a choice. The scripture clearly says we have to forgive to be forgiven. Now, good news, you might not feel forgiveness. When you forgive somebody, you might not feel it, but it is the power of your words to break every curse, every emotion that is attached to that person. Until you forgive that person, you are still attached to them. People will come in for counseling and I'll say, hey, that person has way too much control over you and they're not even in your life. Hallelujah. This happened 10 years ago and they're still controlling you and how you think and your choices and what you're doing. It's being controlled by something that happened 10 years ago. It's not worth it. It's not worth it when we have Jesus. Hallelujah. He can reach into the past and bring healing and restoration to that part of our soul that's been damaged. He will do that for you. He waits for you to let go. He has mercy on us. But he also, I shared last week, God will not be mocked. And you know what? When you release that person, you actually release them to the Lord to execute his judgments on them. He said, vengeance is mine. It is a natural instinct to want to get revenge. If you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you more. Isn't that how we think? That's the flesh. That's how we respond. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you more. You'll never do that again. Hallelujah. We make all these threats, don't we? God's the one who keeps his threats. He said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. God wants to release his justice into your life. There's a scripture I want to share in Deuteronomy 32:4. One of my favorites. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. Of God, a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. And this is the first time that God is called the rock in scripture. And I want to share with you from Matthew Henry commentary. It says the expression denotes that the divine power, faithfulness and love as revealed in Christ and the gospel form a foundation which cannot be changed or moved, on which we may build our hopes of happiness, and under his protection we may find refuge from all our enemies and in all our troubles. God is the rock. Hallelujah. His work is perfect. And all his ways are justice. Hallelujah. Just let that revelation sink into your spirit this morning. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. You know, when someone is struggling and you begin to mention Jesus Christ, just remember your position is to help put a foundation under that person. When we introduce people to Jesus, when we lead people to Jesus, when we pray for Jesus to touch them, heal them, bring peace into their life, restore their soul, we're putting a foundation under their feet. It's not that nothing is happening. You may not see evidence of it, but there will be evidence in their life. We can't stop praying. You know, that has probably been one of the hardest things for the church and the culture that we live, because there's a culture war. There's a cancel culture. They want to cancel Jesus Christ. They want to cancel the Word of God because it doesn't go with the laws that they legislate. And so they want us to be quiet and keep Jesus to ourselves. But that is not how God designed us. We are ambassadors. We proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. We take the good news with us wherever we go. And so we have something to offer that's eternal. Tell your neighbor, it's eternal. It's eternal. You know, things might not change instantly for that person, but when you pray and ask the Lord to begin to work in their life, it's going to work. You gotta let God work. Remember, God waits. He waits. He waits. He waits. He patiently waits. He wants us to surrender. And sometimes some people hold on longer than others. Some people can hold their breath longer than others. But eventually you come up gasping for air, no matter how long you can hold your breath. Is that right? So at some point of time, they're going to surrender. God's word is faithful. God's word is faithful. Once you pray, keep praying truth over it. Don't take it back. Don't doubt it. Keep praying it. Keep releasing it for that person to change. So in closing, we have just a few more things here. From my study, God is true. He is faithful in his relationship to his people. We can safely rely upon God. Faithfulness is an essential part of God's divine character. We can say we accept this divine truth, but his people need to act upon it. We can expect God to do all that he has promised he would do. So let's get our expectations way up here with God. You know, the problem is we've put our expectation way up here with people. And we've gotten our eyes on the wrong source. Our source is God. Let's get our expectations way up here, that our God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think by the power that's at work within us. Hey, that power is in you. Tell somebody, I got the power. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:23. Yeah, reminds me of a song. Thank you. I won't sing right now. Hebrews 10:23 says, he is faithful that promised. God is faithful. He's promised it. He is faithful. There are seasons in our lives that are not easy. Still, God is faithful. In the good times, praise his name. And in the bad times, do the same. In everything, give the King of Kings all the praise. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, let's give him a praise this morning. He's faithful. He's faithful to you. He knows what you're going through. I'm going to read a passage to you from the Passion before Terry comes this morning. And so I just want you to get in a position where you're just relaxed to receive the word. And one way to relax yourself is to breathe. To breathe. And this is how I like to help people learn to relax themselves. You breathe, 1, 2, 3, 4, hold 2, 3, 4, release 2, 3, 4, hold 2, 3, 4. Just try it. Inhale 2, 3, 4, hold 2, 3, 4, release 2, 3, 4, wait 2, 3, 4. Inhale 2, 3, 4, hold 2, 3, 4, release 2, 3, 4, wait 2, 3, 4. And now just begin to breathe regularly and just close your eyes. And I want to read this passage over you. It's from the Passion Translation. It says this: for this is the hope of our salvation. But hope means that we must trust and wait for what is still unseen. For why would we need to hope for something we already have? So because our hope is set on what is yet to be seen, we patiently keep on waiting for its fulfillment. And in a similar way, the Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us in our weakness. For example, at times we don't even know how to pray or know the best things to ask for. But the Holy Spirit rises up within us to super intercede on our behalf, pleading to God with emotional sighs too deep for words. God, the searcher of the heart, knows fully our longings, yet he also understands the desires of the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit passionately pleads before God for us, his holy ones, in perfect harmony with God's plan and our destiny. So we are convinced that every detail in our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. For we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his designed purpose. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you, Father, that you give us the opportunity, Lord, to repent of our wicked ways, to change our desires, attitudes that are contrary to what is best for us. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you know what is best for us and that you continue to lead us and guide us and teach us. We are hungry for your presence. We are teachable. As a church, we are your people and we want to know. We want to be in the know. So show us, Lord. Show us, Lord. Show us your ways. Teach us your truths and lead us in this season. And I thank you for every person here today and those listening. And I thank you, Father, for Terry as she comes this morning to share regarding an encounter that she had with you. We ask you, Lord, for your anointing to fill every person, to fill her, Father God, as she comes today to share with us in Jesus' name. Amen. And let's give the Lord a shout of praise and welcome Terry right here.
Good morning. I know this may be a surprise to some of you, but I still get a little nervous before I do anything. Those of you that know me, it could be a shock. But I give glory and honor to God, and I thank him for this opportunity, and also I give him glory for the apostles of our church. And I wanted to say that I really, I love the heart of Pastor Janet, and she knows how to get me, because she gets me. And every time she gets something on her heart, the Lord will use her to contact me because I've shared something with her that may have happened sooner or years ago. And it seems to always line up with whatever she has in her heart. So this that I'm going to share today is something that's very dear to my heart. But it also is something that causes me to be more transparent than I ever have been. So I pray that it be a blessing upon you that are sitting here, those that are watching live. And just I pray that you open up your heart and pray for me and bless me. And if you know someone that any of these words relate to or these situations, we will pray afterwards, and if you want to stand in the gap for them, you can. My encounter with God. For as long as I can remember, since childhood age, I have struggled with my self-worth, and especially with my physical appearance. It stemmed from all of the physical, verbal, and emotional abuse I received as a child by my mother and brutally teased by my older siblings and other kids for some reason or another, but especially about my weight. Then to be molested as a young teen, raped several times as an adult, only made matters extremely worse. For most of my life, I drowned myself in drugs because I never accepted who I was as a person, and also because I was so filled with hurt, anger, guilt, shame, and loads of pain. Fortunately, that destructive lifestyle and stinking thinking came to an end. In August of 2020, I was to turn 57 years old. Prior to this happy event, I began to sense in my spirit that God was ready to take me into a new level of faith in my life. As things, as we all know, during this past year, 2020, took a turn of major change, I found myself growing closer and stronger in God because of all of the effects. I began spending more time in prayer, reading more of His Word, and doing my best to treat others more Christ-like. So when this sensation came upon me, I just figured it was due to my progression and growth in life. On one hand, I was correct, but on the other, I was way off as to the direction I was thinking of. Then came the weekend of October 4th, when Apostle Leon Walters came to visit us. As he always does whenever he comes, Apostle Leon speaks a word of prophecy over our apostles, church family, and friends. When he called for me, and the prophecy came forth, I stood in awe at the things he was saying. I knew it was from God because I have never had a conversation with Apostle Leon about my childhood, family, or things in my past which were mentioned in this prophecy. He spoke some very particular things to me, one being about my mother, whom I hardly ever share anything about. The things he spoke resonated deep within and began to stir up all kinds of emotions. Fortunately, the prophecy was recorded on a CD, so I listened to it several more times trying to figure out what it all meant. But I found it was causing me heartache and stirring up pain I thought I had buried years ago. The more I thought about my past, as I was preparing to line up with what I felt God wanted for me, I could see in the spirit the area I was to enter into. But for some strange reason, I could not cross over into it. I soon realized I was nowhere near as ready as I had presumed. God needed me to do a whole lot more work in areas I couldn't see at the time. See, I have been asking and seeking God for several years for certain desires of the heart. If I could get married, and for Him to bless me to establish clean and healthy relationships along with close friendships, because I had never had any. I can recall I even gotten upset and even angry at times with God because He hadn't answered my prayers fast enough. Which now brings me to Friday, October 23rd, 2020. I went to dinner with some visiting friends and fellow sisters of Spa Women's Ministry Homes, where I met this wonderful lady named Cynthia, whom God used as a guide for me to step forward into this new adventure. After our time of fellowship with eating and much laughter, we visited with our friends at their hotel room to continue with the evening. In conversation, I shared how I at times ministered to some of the ladies at Spa Women's Ministry Homes about their self-worth. I also admitted that even though I knew what God's word said in Psalms 139:13-14, which tells of how he created us from within, knew us inwardly, and how we are fearfully and wonderfully made, deep down I had not grasped that revelation for myself. I also admitted that I still struggled with resentment, especially towards my mother, for the abuse she showed into my life. I began to show through an example of standing on the edge of an area rug what I was seeing in the spirit about crossing over. When Miss Cynthia jumped up and exclaimed, "God says, since you are now again standing at the edge of your new journey, cross over." She then shoved me over the edge of that rug. And immediately, I felt differently in my spirit. She then began to prophesy over me too. On the way home and all through the night, I pondered on that whole experience. I remember crying and praying myself to sleep, asking God for understanding and waking up the same way. Then it all hit me. The revelation that God had been wanting me to get for all these years had finally started being revealed. I felt like Adam and Eve in a good way, that my eyes were now opened and I finally began to see the truth, which was also a part of the prophecy from Apostle Leon. I realized that I had not totally forgiven my mother and others for all the abuse I received from them. I also had not forgiven myself of a lot of hurt and emotional pain I still harbored in my heart for things I did in my past. I sat up in the bed, bawling my eyes out and speaking into the atmosphere all the hurt I was holding on to, word towards my mother and the others And afterwards, I had a long yet loving conversation with Terry, as if she was another person. In that moment, I came to realize that Terry was still very childlike and fragile. So for the first time in my life, I truly loved on her with the same gentle love that God demonstrated the day I accepted him into my heart for real. I embraced her and held her tightly in my arms and closely to my breast as God does. In a still, soft voice, I spoke with her and I expressed genuine feelings toward her as I told her of all the beautiful things I saw in her and all the kind ways she was to me and of all the things I honestly forgive her for. I think we talked for at least 2 hours, and by the end, I was filled with emotion while my eyes, like now, are flooding with tears. While lying flat on my back, I allowed myself to have a good cleansing cry. Now for the encounter. Shortly after, the Holy Spirit then told me to lift my hands. As I laid there, I did as he asked. And when I did, I felt what seemed like the hand of God himself on my chest, holding me down. I could hear the sound of rushing mighty wind blowing around my room and through my ears. And I could feel the power of God's anointing healing through my chest. I could hardly breathe, but I heard myself speak mightily in tongues, a language different than my usual dialect and very unknown to me. It seemed like hours that I lay there under his hand. And when he finally released me to rise, I could hardly catch my breath. I sat on the side of my bed, gasping for air, on the verge of losing my faculties. I staggered as if drunk towards the bathroom as fast as I could. And once there, I couldn't sit. I just plopped down. I recall sitting there for quite some time, still trying to catch my breath and compose myself. When I finally did, there was such a strong sense of peace, and I truly felt delivered and free for the first time in this walk with Christ. Now, I have experienced a form of peace in other areas of my life before, but this was the most profound. Since this amazing encounter occurred, I have come to realize what it definitely means to live fearfully and wonderfully made. I am learning daily how to see myself as God sees me, beyond my outer appearance. I see my own heart and the nature of God within myself as I come to know Him even more. I am beyond just being clean, sober, and free of the old addicted self. I see the new creation God intended for me all along. Since that encounter, I have confidence in myself, and I no longer second guess my decisions. I can make better choices based on Scripture. And I see God's word being made alive in me, through me, and for me. I now accept my identity in God. And I believe that is who I really am and will continue to become, which was also a part of the prophecy given by Apostle Leon, that God desired for me to live entirely free. And that is now coming to pass. Another pertaining to my mother, Apostle Leon said that God had given her a double portion blessing that was never manifested. He said that God had now passed that double portion blessing onto me, and that it was now a double portion of her double portion. That is the part I could not figure out. Now I believe it pertains to her freedom and her not forgiving herself of all the harm she caused me and my siblings by being so abusive to us, and for the dark secrets and lies she chose to live with and take to her grave. God wanted my mother to live free and forgiven, but like me, I believe she chose to live in the bondage of guilt and shame and of hurt and pain so much and so long that it ate at her and caused her to transfer all that onto me. Although my mother was a grand believer in Christ, served in church for years in many ministries, and was one of the best Sunday school teachers of the word we had, I can only assume, like me, she didn't feel worthy of God's promises. She talked the talk, but never truly walked the walk. And I too did that for many years. Well, not today. So in closing, not only will I talk the talk, but by faith and trusting in God at all times, I will live, speak, and walk the walk in the presence of mine enemies. I believe in the uttermost in God and His word, and I stand on every promise He's made. I receive the double portion, and I pray that I will please God always by living it out loudly, because y'all know I'm in.
Amen, amen.
Oh, wait. I vow before all of you to be the best representative of Christ others will ever see by living love, giving love, and being love to the best of my ability, no matter what comes my way. I want to show the world that Jesus is real. His word is true, and it works in my life. So to God be the glory for all the things that he has done. Thank you very much.
Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You can just stay right here. Hallelujah. I would like for Terry to pray. If you identify with this, I want you to stand. If you know someone in your life that needs this healing, I just want you to stand in the gap for them today. You know, God desires for our souls to be whole, to be healed, to restored. And when she was talking about talking to little Terry, that was a fragment of her soul. Our souls can get broken and fragmented, and we don't live out the fullness that God designed us to live. So this is a wonderful testimony of what God wants to do in everyone's life. He wants us to be in health, and our souls to prosper. She couldn't receive that double anointing blessing until God restored her soul, and now she can contain it. You see, when your soul's fragmented, it will just leak right out. It just like goes right out the bottom of your feet. But God secured her, healed her, put her back together again, and she's got that anointing to release. We pray for revelation for every one of you standing. Just go ahead, Sister Terry, and pray over us today.
One thing before the prayer was something you mentioned in your message, that God will wait on you. And one thing about him is he loves you no matter what. And when he has called you to do something, he will equip you to do the work he has called you to do. And it doesn't matter how much you try to run, your assignment will be completed no matter what you try to do. I ran for years. And like mom had prophesied over me one time, he put shackles on my feet. And I never understood how could this God love me so much for what the things that I had done. But it didn't matter to him, because he saw ahead exactly what his work was designed for me to do. And once I allowed him to have his way, everything that I desired in my heart has come forth.
Thank you, Jesus.
Everything.
Thank you,
Jesus. In a minimal amount of time. And I thank and praise God for that. So all of you standing with me, and those that are out there in watching live, if this resonates with you, I ask you to lift your hands, to bow your heads, and to open your hearts, because I want you to know that Jesus loves you regardless to what you have done. He will forgive you no matter what, and he will teach you to forgive others, especially yourself, because that's the hardest part. You are not alone. If you can see who is standing here with you, you are not alone. And I myself walk alongside of you in the best way that I know how, in the spirit. You are not alone. So, Father God, we thank you right now for those that are standing here. We thank you for those who are watching live, oh God, who are struggling with whatever, any addiction, any affliction, any oppression, any depression, of guilt, of shame, we bottle that right now in the name of Jesus, and we cast it out because that is not of God. And we ask, oh God, that you give them strength and courage to let it all go and to open up their heart and their mind and to receive you right now, because you are standing at the door knocking. Give them the courage, oh God, to answer. And let them know that regardless, you love them so much that you sent your only begotten Son to die on that cross just for us. And he shed his blood just for us so that we won't have to live like this. We can be free if only we open up our arms and receive you. Help us to forgive, oh God. Give us strength and give us courage, oh God. I thank you, Father, right now for all of those who have said yes unto you. I invite you, O God, to come into all of our hearts. And for those who don't know you, Lord, let them open up their mouths and confess every sin and believe in their heart that you died for them and rose again, so that they too will be saved and live free. For whom the Son sets free is surely free indeed. I thank you, Father, for all the opportunities that you give me to minister to others, you, and share you, to make me transparent. But let Terry always decrease so that you will get the increase, O God. And let them, when they look upon us, see not flesh and blood, but the Christ that lives within us. And two, wonder two in their heart, what must they do to be saved? And let us always be prepared to share that testimony and those victories of what you have done, what you will do, and are yet doing in our lives. I give you glory. I give you the honor, God, in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone say, hallelujah! Give God some praise. Glory, glory, glory.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. Thank you, Lord, for that testimony. Powerful, powerful. That's the power of God. Only he can restore our souls. Only he can put us back together again and make us whole.